Ron's prediction came true within hours. Shortly before lunch, Mrs. Weasley detached Harry from the others by asking him to help identify a lone man's sock that she thought might have come out of his rucksack. Once she had him cornered in the tiny scullery off the kitchen, she started. "Ron and Hermione seem to think that the three of you are dropping out of Hogwarts," she began in a light, casual tone.
"Oh," said Harry. "Well, yeah, we are."
The mangle turned of its own accord in a corner, wringing out what looked like one of Mr. Weasley's vests.
"May I ask why you are abandoning your education?" said Mrs. Weasley.
"Well, Dumbledore left me stuff to do," mumbled Harry.
"Ron and Hermione know about it, and they want to come too."
"What sort of stuff?"
"I'm sorry, I can't..."
"Well, frankly, I think Arthur and I have a right to know, and I'm sure Mr. and Mrs. Granger would agree," said Mrs. Weasley.
Harry had been afraid of the concerned parent attack. He forced himself to look directly into her eyes, noticing as he did so that they were precisely the same shade of brown as Ginny's. This did not help. "Dumbledore didn't want anyone else to know, Mrs. Weasley.
I'm sorry. Ron and Hermione don't have to come. It's their choice."
"I don't see that you have to go either," she snapped, dropping all pretense now. "You're barely of age, any of you. It's utter nonsense. If Dumbledore needed work doing, he had the whole order at his command. Harry, you must have misunderstood him. Probably he was telling you something he wanted done, and you took it to mean that he wanted you."
"I didn't misunderstand," said Harry flatly. "It's got to be me."
He handed her back the single sock he was supposed to be identifying, which was patterned with golden bulrushes.
"And that's not mine. I don't support Puddlemere United."
"Oh, of course not,"
said Mrs. Weasley, with a sudden and rather unnerving return to her casual tone.
"I should have realized. Well, Harry, while we've still got you here, you won't mind helping with the preparations for Bill and Fleur's wedding, will you? There's still so much to do."
"No, I... of course not," said Harry, disconcerted by this sudden change of subject.
"Sweet of you,"
she replied, and she smiled as she left the scullery. From that moment on, Mrs. Weasley kept Harry, Ron, and Hermione so busy with preparations for the wedding that they hardly had any time to think. The kindest explanation of this behaviour would have been that Mrs. Weasley wanted to distract them all from thoughts of Mad-Eye and the terrors of their recent journey. After 2 days of non-stop cutlery cleaning, of colour-matching favours, ribbons and flowers, of denoming the garden and helping Mrs. Weasley cook vast batches of canapés, however, Harry started to suspect her of a different motive. All the jobs she handed out seemed to keep him, Ron, and Hermione away from one another. He had not had a chance to speak to the two of them alone since the first night, when he had told them about Voldemort torturing Ollivander.
"I think Mum thinks that if she can stop the three of you getting together and planning, she'll be able to delay you leaving,"
Ginny told Harry in an undertone as they laid the table for dinner on the third night of his stay.
"And then what does she think's going to happen?"
Harry muttered. "Someone else might kill off Voldemort while she's holding us here making vol-au-vent."
He had spoken without thinking and saw Ginny's face whiten.
"So it's true," she said. "That's what you're trying to do." I was joking," said Harry evasively.
They stared at each other, and there was something more than shock in Ginny's expression. Suddenly, Harry became aware that this was the first time that he had been alone with her since those stolen hours in secluded corners of the Hogwarts grounds. He was sure she was remembering them too. Both of them jumped as the door opened, and Mr. Weasley, Kingsley, and Bill walked in.